common. Host Dr. Eugene Zamperone, he's the Dr. Z on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We have been bringing you cutting-edge information about all aspects of natural medicine and holistic living, and we have been bringing those radio shows both to the airwaves as well as now to the podcast waves since the late 1970s, believe it or not, so it's been quite a while. And we love you to join us. We love to hear from you. You can go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Let us know a topic you'd like to hear about, or if you have a personal question. We also give classes and workshops every day, and we have one coming up on November 8th, and that's going to be the Naval Expo. You can find out more at navalexpo.com at 9 a.m. I will be presenting about GMOs. What are they? What they're about? And how can we choose to use them or not to use them? And that's not an easy question since they are not labeled. And how you can work on labeling if it's something you would like to be able to decide for yourself. At 4 o'clock, I will be doing a presentation on using herbs for yourself and your family. What's hot, what's not, how to decide if there's an herb-drug interaction, what's safe, what's effective, and actually herbs have a much better safety record than pharmaceutical drugs in terms of their ability to heal without negative effects. And that leads us into our topic for today, because we have a very high-level discussion today about herbal and natural therapies, and we will have on board with us Dr. John Hall, Ph.D. He is the Senior Scientific Advisor at the Beljansky Foundation. Dr. Hall completed graduate work in biochemistry at Princeton University and New York University as a postdoctoral fellow and then as a professor at Rockefeller University. His research focused on the fundamental mechanisms relating cell motility to cell division and cancer. He has served as an executive and as a consultant in the biotechnology industry, and he is currently Director of Research at Natural Source International. Remember that word, Natural Source International. You may want to be Googling it and find them later. As well as being a Senior Scientific Advisor for the Beljansky Foundation, Dr. John Hall was awarded his Ph.D. in biochemistry in the same department in which Mirko Beljansky, the scientist who discovered these natural cures, was a visiting research fellow at Severo Ochoa's laboratory at NYU in 1950. On today's show, Dr. Hall will discuss the history of the research and practice of Dr. Beljansky, whose work assisted many people successfully, hundreds and perhaps thousands of people successfully deal with a cancer diagnosis. And this is documented in many books as well as videos that you can get a hold of as well. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. John Hall.
Thanks for having me.
And you sound loud and clear, so I'm so happy we're technically connected. So let's go back in time a little bit. In terms of your own research and education, which obviously is quite extensive, when did you find yourself drawn towards natural therapies?
Well, I guess I think it's okay for me to say that I shared certainly a few things with Mirko Beljansky, including an interest in non-toxic but effective agents that would help patients with cancer. He was among the first to focus intently on safety. He really felt that if nature had created this vast array of compounds, among which there are compounds used as drugs, and many of these, as we know, have negative side effects. He was focusing on the idea that nature must also, in this vast world of molecules, there must be a few that nature invented that were effective but non-toxic. So going back, my own interest in this was always an early awareness of the downsides of, say, chemotherapy, for example, which really, in some cases, has drastic side effects. And so I was very comfortable plugging into Veljansky's research and joining the operation, the Veljansky Foundation and Natural Source, to help develop it further.
So that sounds like it was a marriage made in heaven, and, you know, so wonderful that you are on board with them. So now let's step back.
Also, let me go on and just say one more thing. One of the great things about Veljansky, and I'll be able to talk a little bit about this today, is he really was an independent thinker. And there's all scientists are drawn to that at some point in their career. But he was not following the mainstream. And as we know, in the history of science, many of the best discoveries come from left field, say, from an independent thinker who's not following the crowd. And that certainly was Veljansky, and that also had extraordinary appeal to me. If you have this problem with drugs, many of which have negative side effects, and you want to move forward and get away from that, you have to be thinking outside the box. You have to have your own perspective and your own angle on the problem and come up with something that is new.
Well, I have seen lectures several times, in fact, given by Dr. Veljansky's daughter, who's quite active in the field, and she has a phenomenal slide presentation that, by the way, people can also see on Sunday, November 8th, as well as many other times. Like I mentioned, I'll be presenting at the Naval Expo, and she will be as well. That's at the Huntington Hilton, November 8th. Starting at 9 a.m. going all the way to 6 p.m. You can check navalexpo.com to find out when Sylvie will be presenting. And also, by the way, listeners, navalexpo.com, you can look at that website anytime you hear this show, because, you know, Dr. Hall, this show might be replayed. People can listen to it anytime, day or night, 24/7. Once we're done. So if they miss the expo, they can always find out when the next one is at navalexpo.com, and they can always find out about today's topic at beljansky.org. That's BELJANSKI.ORG. And by the way, this entire show will be archived, and there will be links to these contacts that we're talking about. So now, coming back to the doctor, Mirko Veljansky, let's go back in time a little bit, because he had a fantastic history as well.
Yes, about his early, his start, he was born in Serbia in very modest circumstances, but he was an excellent student, and that enabled him to win a scholarship to continue studying abroad. And he had the choice of going to Moscow or to Paris. And he chose Paris, one of the reasons being that he didn't, at the time, possess a winter coat good enough to stand up to the Moscow winters. And he went to Paris. He was at the University of Paris, where he received his university training and his PhD. And he then went on to the Pasteur Institute in Paris, which at the time and now is one of the most prestigious biomedical research institutes in the world. He was there for many decades, did most of his work there, his research, and that's what we have to thank the Pasteur for supporting him in those years.
Yeah, very interesting with Pasteur, because that whole Belchamp and Pasteur discussion that went on, perhaps our listeners don't know, but there was sort of an idea of, with these kinds of diseases, particularly cancer, which is our focus for today, because Dr. Veljansky and the Veljansky Foundation, he of course was a pioneer in cancer research, although I imagine he also researched other items and illnesses as well. But at that time, there was a discussion between the causative factors of disease. Is it a one bug, one drug solution with isolating one particular microorganism? Or do these microorganisms, in fact, appear because of what Belsham called the soil, the background information. And I think that is still a very interesting and actually very viable discussion.
Yeah, I'm not closely familiar with that work. Beljansky was focusing on cancer, not as an infectious disease, but as an environmental problem.
Exactly, and that was more Belsham.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So what he was
to modify that internal environment.
Well, Beljansky's approach was at the DNA level, and again, I'll repeat, it was fundamental because he did not focus, as the mainstream was focusing, on the genetic code, on the information in the DNA strands. He focused on the structure of the DNA itself, the physical structure. And in the middle of the last century, we learned from Watson and Crick, the famous discovery that the DNA exists as two long strands which are wrapped around each other in a double helix, a famous double helix of DNA. And what Beljansky studied was the effect of environmental pollutants or carcinogens on the structure of the DNA, on the stability of the double helix. And what he learned, in short, is that the binding of carcinogens from our environment can destabilize the DNA double helix. And that literally means that the binding applies some torque to the structure, and instead of being this beautiful, clean, double strand, it is opened and stressed in areas which ultimately, over time and progressively, with continued exposure to carcinogens, can render the cell susceptible and just right at the doorstep of a cancer. So it's the structure of the DNA, and it's not mutations. He wasn't sequencing the strands of DNA. He wasn't finding out, oh, there's a mutation, which is an error in the code, that which can result and does result sometimes in a protein with altered function. And if that protein has an effect on cell division, say, you're on your way to deregulating that process and accelerating it, which happens in cancer. And there are lots of mutations that have been found that do contribute to cancers. That's a big part of the cancer story. But Beljansky thought that it wasn't the fundamental cause of carcinogenesis. And he described in many, many cases, DNA is isolated from many different tumors of many different tissues, many different kinds, that the DNA structure is different. And again, that's the purified DNA. You can get it in a test tube. There's nothing else in there but DNA. And when you look at that DNA, it was by spectroscopy, which he used, you can see that there's a subtle difference. It is destabilized. And that, in the simplest terms, means the two strands are relatively open. There are loops and openings in it. And that's a problem because once there are enough of those openings, the enzymes that do the work of DNA duplication and DNA transcription, the expression of genes, those enzymes can get into this structure and start to copy the DNA when it shouldn't be copied and start to transcribe genes when they're not supposed to be transcribed. And that loss of regulation through changes in the structure of the DNA is what Beljansky discovered as the fundamental basis for cancers.
Now, I know that he worked with plant extracts, which are still being used today in the products that are being made, you know, that was based on his research. So what kind of plant extracts did he discover?
He discovered two principal ones with anti-cancer effects. One of them is called Pau Pereira. It is the actual extract comes from the bark of the tree, which grows in the Amazon rainforest. He also found efficacy in an extract of a plant or a shrub called Revolfia vomitoria, and that's more widely grown, but certainly there's Africa, in West Africa it's found. These plant extracts, and in that case it's the bark of the roots, what he did was take these, extract the molecules in there, and that extraction is non-trivial. It means to get the compounds that are in these barks or in the roots of the barks to extract them out of and independently isolate them from many of the other compounds that are there. And that's important because what he did with his method of extraction is isolate active molecules and leave behind many of the undesirable ones. So these extracts that he has are harmless. I mean, they don't exert negative side effects. And that's key for him, as I explained earlier. But
well, that
they
make
do
sense
nevertheless
different
have anti-cancer
methods
effects.
Yield different actives. So he probably tested which extraction method exactly yield which actives, because you can pull out different things from the same plant.
Oh, that's right. I think he was very, very intelligent about his methodology there, because he, if you just take a plant, we know most of these plants, many of them, have toxic compounds, and even if they, say, kill cancer cells, they do that indiscriminately in many cases, and will also kill healthy cells. He wasn't interested in that. He wanted an activity with safety, and he got it. He got two, which is an impressive accomplishment.
It is.
Let
and
me
then,
go on to say, I'm sorry, let me just go on
just
to say that
move.
In order to do this, he had to develop an assay, and anybody who's been to graduate school or done some work in a lab over the summer as an undergrad will have come up against their advisor saying to them, well, you got to have an assay. You want to address this problem? You want to solve this? What's your test? What's your assay? And that was the other breakthrough here, was his assay, which he called the OncoTest. And that enabled him to determine whether or not any compound had the potential to be a carcinogen. And the details of it are using DNA templates, comparing healthy and cancerous DNA, pure DNA, in a test tube, and finding out which compounds actually influence the activity of that template as for DNA synthesis. This was really an amazing assay, and he was able to discover the activity of these plant extracts using the OncoTest.
That was excellent. Now, was there a particular kind of cancer that he was working on, or did he find that these plant extracts had a broad base of activity?
That's a great question, because the mainstream, what we've done in cancer research, is focus on different cancers in different tissues. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer. They're all studied independently, and there is a good rationale for that. But in Beljanski's case, he's looking at DNA. Well, there's DNA in every cell of our body, in every type of tissue, and in for men and women, we all have it. And it's all susceptible to the effect of carcinogens. All of our DNA, all of our cells, can succumb to the DNA destabilization that Beljanski described, and ultimately to cancer. So one of the interesting things about these extracts is that they don't discriminate. It doesn't matter where the cancer is. If the DNA is destabilized, the active compounds in these extracts will target that, and what they actually do is prevent duplication of the cell with the destabilized DNA. But it's not gender specific, it's not tissue specific, it's broad spectrum, as you said.
Right, and so now these have actually been made into specific remedies, which is exciting. But what happens with other significant discoveries that Beljanski made?
Okay, he did do an extract of the ginkgo leaf. Now, that's a very popular extract in its green leaf form. So Beljanski did not study, at least intensively, extracts of green leaf ginkgo, but he did look at what the benefits of an extract from the yellow leaves would be. And that means that it's fall, and the leaves are changing color. And what's interesting there is that the composition, the biochemical profile of these yellow leaves is different from the profile in a green leaf or in those extracts. So he gets a different activity. And his green leaf extract doesn't have much to do with circulation or memory, which I think are supposed to be effects of the green leaf. His yellow leaf extract has a protective effect against radiation damage. Induced radiation, damage by radiation, often fibrosis in human tissues. This ginkgo extract helps prevent that and also to improve the condition if it's already present. So I think it's worth saying one of the interesting things about the ginkgo is in Japan after the, in World War II, when the bombs, the atomic bombs were dropped, I think the only thing left standing were some ginkgo trees.
Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating plant. Belchuk said, hey, there's something there that's radio resistant. And so there's an activity. There's something protecting that tree. And that's what he was seeking. And his extract supplies that. There are humans who have undergone radiation treatments, and they've taken advantage of the protective effects of his ginkgo extract.
That's fantastic information. So, you know, we're going to take a little break right here, and we'll hear playing a natural medicine chest. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion, our fascinating discussion about the Belzhansky Foundation history of a pioneer in cancer research. And Dr. Belzhansky himself is an author. He's written several books. One is called The Regulation of DNA Replication and Transcription, in which he actually explains his research. And there are videos about his work. There are many new other books about his work. There are works about the products that are now offered by the Natural Source International. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. John Hall, Senior Scientific Advisor at the Belzhansky Foundation. Stand by. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the essential oil taken from the Australian tea tree.
The tea tree, known as Melaleuca alternifolia, grows in only one region of the world, the northeast corner of Australia. It is a full-sized tree of the myrtle family, whose oil has powerful abilities to clean and help heal wounds and skin ailments such as cuts, burns, and rashes. In 1770, the infamous Captain Cook was a lieutenant in the British Royal Navy when his ship landed in Australia. The botanist on board, Sir Joseph Banks, collected samples of a sticky aromatic leaf and brought them back to England for further investigation.
In 1923, an Australian curator and chemist, Dr. Penfold, conducted a study on tea tree leaves and discovered that their essential oils are 13 times stronger as an antiseptic bactericide than carbolic acid, considered the standard in the early 1900s. The oil contains 50 to 60% terpenes, 6 to 8% cineol, which causes its camphor-like odor, and several kinds of alcohols. In 1933, the Australian Journal of Pharmacy, the American Journal of the National Medical Association, and the British Medical Journal reported that tea tree oil is a powerful disinfectant, non-poisonous, non-irritating, and has been used successfully in a very wide range of septic conditions. Australian tea tree oil is mentioned in the British Pharmaceutical Codex of 1949, the UK Medicine List, and the Dispensary of the United States.
During World War II, tea tree oil was considered a standard issue item for all first aid kits for Army and Navy units in tropical regions. The demand for tea tree oil exceeded the supply. However, after World War II, synthetic drugs gained in popularity and the use of tea tree oil in medicine waned. In more recent times, a renewed interest in natural, non-toxic alternatives has triggered a resurgence in tea tree oil research. In 1985, Dr. Paul Belacher, chief of the phytotherapy department at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Paris, worked on several double-blind studies involving tea tree oil and its application as a remedy for candidiasis, chronic cystitis, staph and strep infections, and nail bed fungus. He stated, and we quote, "The essential oil of Melaleuca has entered the team of major essential oils and emerges as an antiseptic and antifungal weapon of the first order in phytoaromatherapy.
Try a few drops of tea tree oil in a steam vaporizer and inhale for blocked sinuses, or rub the oil on chest and back for a cough. The Australian Journal of Dentistry reported that using tea tree oil in dental hygiene and in surgery showed it to be an extremely effective antiseptic. Add a drop on your toothbrush or include it as a gargle and mouthwash. Tea tree oil can be applied directly to the skin. Although it's possible that some people may experience a mild allergic reaction, in-depth research has shown tea tree oil to be non-irritating and safe.
So, listeners, think about including tea tree oil, the first aid kit in a bottle, in your natural medicine chest.
Well, so much for being with us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we're here with a very important topic today about the Belzhansky Foundation, history of a pioneer in cancer research. You should know about this, have this handy. Unfortunately, almost every listener that we have here, and we do have about close to 150,000 downloads from our podcast. That's great. Keep it coming. We love to see that. But everyone, unfortunately, Dr. Hall, seems to know someone who is suffering with cancer, and I do want to introduce you again. We are speaking today with Dr. John Hall, Senior Scientific Advisor at the Belzhansky Foundation, and he is very, very well trained in conventional biochemistry, as well as being an advocate for moving forward with getting the best research done on natural therapies. And you can learn more at navalexpo.com, because Sylvie Belzhansky, who is the daughter of the gentleman we're discussing, Dr. Mirko Belzhansky, regularly lectures around the country, as well as does Dr. John Hall, talking about this fascinating science and what you could do to help many, many people who unfortunately happen to be suffering with cancer in this day and age. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. John Hall.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, you told us already that Dr. Belzhansky was very interested in finding plant medicine that was both safe and effective to use universally in terms of influencing DNA changes that lead to various kinds of cancer.
Exactly.
And apparently he was successful at doing that. That's rather fascinating.
That's right. And as you were speaking there, I was thinking that one of the things that really distinguishes the Belzhansky extracts from many other possible alternatives is the sheer quantity of research that's been done. He worked for decades at the Pasteur and developed these extracts, and we at the Belzhansky Foundation have continued that research and made an effort to confirm and validate his work, and also to go forward and look at a little more closely at the mechanisms of action and how these extracts actually work. So we're both confirming his work and extending it when possible. And that's the major mission of the Belzhansky Foundation, in addition to educate. I think Belzhansky's not that well known, and he certainly deserves to be very well known. And so the foundation is trying to make that happen.
Well, let's go back in time again and look at some of the fantastic innovations and discoveries that he made. Now, what about the peers that he worked with at the time? Were they excited to find a natural safe and effective intervention that might be useful for cancer, or did he get a reaction like he might today?
I don't know about today. Hey, they were not exactly thrilled, let me put it to you that way. And I'd like to just relay another anecdote which will illustrate the problems he had with the establishment. One of the things he discovered is the enzyme reverse transcriptase. Now, this enzyme copies strands of RNA to make a DNA strand. And this is, at the time in particular, it's hard to imagine, it was just against all the rules. And you must imagine, his boss, in a sense, the head of the Pasteur Institute, Jacques Monod, and in the time frame that Beljanski was working on this, had just written a book that absolutely laid down the law. And he said, there's no way that genetic information could ever possibly move in any other direction but DNA to RNA and then to protein. He insisted this is an absolute. And, of course, it is heretical then to find an enzyme that can reverse that process, and that's exactly what Beljanski did. He was the first to find this famous reverse transcriptase in bacteria, and I should add that the discovery of reverse transcriptase in viruses was conducted by Howard Temin and David Baltimore, who won the Nobel Prize for that. It was considered eventually as the unbelievably important kind of a breaking of the rules of Jacques Monod, but also of what we thought could happen in biology in terms of the flow of information. So he was right up there, and he was the first, as I said, to discover this enzyme in bacteria. Monod, I think, was just a lifelong nemesis for Beljanski. He really, my sense from speaking with Monique Beljanski, who is his widow, and who works with us and has been just a great companion and colleague to have. She's made it clear that I think Monod kind of knew in the end, and even admitted that Beljanski's work was really first rate. But he did many, many things to slow down and impede Beljanski's progress. And I guess from his perspective, it was just a mortal blow to have his absolute rule of DNA to RNA to protein broken, and the reverse shown to be a reality, not just a possibility. As far as the extracts go,
not so different than what goes on today. Really fascinating that even back then. But I know when I saw Sylvie Beljanski, and she is the daughter of the great doctor and carries forth his work along with you, Dr. John Hall, PhD, Senior Scientific Advisor at the Beljanski Foundation. Now, she told a wonderful story, and it's documented in a book as well as a video and a slideshow about Dr. Beljanski and his interaction with the president of France when he had cancer.
Yes, indeed. That was François Mitterrand, who succumbed to advanced metastatic prostate cancer. And his doctors did everything they could. He was at that stage, which is considered, I guess now you would say he was ready for hospice care. It was beyond the traditional doctors had no more treatments to offer him. But one of them did know about Beljanski's plant extracts, and did manage to obtain them and get them for Mitterrand. And he bounced back. He just returned to health and vigor for several years. And this also was bad news for Beljanski, because all of the politicos around Mitterrand were kind of counting on his demise, getting ready for a new election, trying to get in position to get more power. And lo and behold, Mitterrand, after he took the Beljanski products, was able to complete his term. And I think Beljanski made some enemies there, too. He just helped the president, but the political people there were quite frustrated by the fact that Beljanski had enabled Mitterrand to finish his term in a relatively healthy condition. So that was a dramatic
case. That's a fascinating story right there.
Yeah, this Beljanski, his success success is part of what caused him trouble. The quality of his work was something that people did not appreciate at that time. And that's only partly true.
Did the president come out? Did the president extend that information so it could be used by other people at the time in France?
At the time, I think that this was not well publicized. But it's important to say that there are, and there are many people in France who've been helped, not just the president. There are many citizens who took advantage of the benefits of the Beljanski extracts. And there's quite a committed group. It's called CIRIS, C-I-R-I-S, of French people who are really strong proponents of Beljanski's work, of the extracts, and of the foundation. Some of the funding, a considerable amount of money for the funding of ongoing research, comes from this French organization. So he has his followers there, and we're very thankful for that.
Yeah, and don't they get together every year because these are people who actually were cured and their family?
Yeah, that's right. One of the anecdotes that I recall, which I heard from Monique Beljanski, many of the traditional doctors in France won't have anything to do with these extracts. And so he still has, Beljanski, he's still a renegade. And I think there's a sense that if you're in the mainstream, you should not be using them. But there are a number of cases in which doctors of this type who resist and deny the usefulness of Beljanski's work and his extracts, when their wife gets cancer, when their best friend or their uncle gets cancer, they're seeking to get the extracts to give them to these close relatives. And that's a testament right there to the validity, if you need it. It's an interesting thing where when it happens close to home, you say, whoa, I better get the Beljanski remedies.
Yes, and, you know, it does have a pretty interesting research that you have been done where there's actual documentation of people having very successful outcomes.
That's right. There's just a large body of scientifically work that's been published in peer-reviewed journals. Beljanski had 133 papers. Now in the foundation, we're continuing to publish. But he also has the testimonials. There's just legions of these personal statements from people who've used the product successfully and are eager to talk about it.
Yes, I know. It's like a fan club because they want other people to, you know, perhaps benefit from these particular kinds of herbal extracts. Now, talk more about what is the foundation now doing? I know you're actively involved in various kinds of research. And
yes,
publications.
Yes. This started a few years back at Columbia University Medical Center with Dr. Aaron Katz, who's a very well-known urologist, and traditional as well as alternative. He was the director of the Department of Holistic Urology at Columbia.
We know Dr. Katz well. He has been a guest here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. He's very well thought of and has years of success in the field.
Yes, and he took a serious interest in the extracts and took them into his own laboratory at Columbia and did the kinds of rigorous tests and experiments that are conducted for any possible drug candidate in the pharmaceutical industry or in the biomedical research industry. His laboratory looked at the effect of the extracts on prostate cancer, both at the cellular level, in vitro, and in animals, in vivo. And there are two publications resulted from that work, which was personally conducted by Debbie Bemis, PhD. And she showed that, indeed, these extracts, both the Pau Pereira and the Revolfia vomitoria, inhibit the growth of prostate cancer cells. And these are human cells that are available to study in the laboratory. Both extracts are very efficient. And when I say inhibits the growth of these cancer cell lines, it means that they kill the cells. And Bemis and Katz went on to show how that happens. And in the case of Paul Pereira, it's that extract induces a process called apoptosis, which is a built-in cellular program that leads to cell death. It's been called programmed cell suicide. And that's a very desirable pathway to go down if you're talking about a cancer cell. You want those cells to die and for the body to be rid of them. And it's a common goal for any cancer agent, a popular and positive effect for any cancer anti-cancer agent. And whereas it's different with Revolvia vomitoria, that extract induces cell cycle arrest. It halts the process of cell division in the prostate cancer cells, which is exactly what you want. One of the hallmarks of cancer cells is dividing very actively, somewhat more rapidly than normal cells. And if you can stop that process, it's another great outcome if you want to go against the cancer. Now, eventually those cells do die. Once they're stopped in that process of cell division, they go on to die. But so both extracts can really do a great job against cancer cells. In the animal studies, Katz's group showed that both extracts also shrink prostate cancer tumors in mice. And these are human tumors that have been transplanted into the mice. And then the mice are given the extracts by oral administration. And lo and behold, these tumors shrink significantly. And its statistical significance is not just, oh, that, you know, shrank a little and this one didn't. It's really a positive result. And so that was our first foray among the prestigious research institutes and academic centers in this country. We've gone
now, has
on.
That, have those actually yeah. been published? Have the results
oh,
been
yes.
published?
Oh, yes. Two publications from Katz's laboratory, one for the PAO and one for the Revolvia extract. So both of them got, each extract got its own paper. But those are great papers. They're just, and it's wonderful because it also confirms what Beljanski was saying, but we were able to go on a little bit in terms of the mechanism of action. Beljanski knew these extracts killed cancer cells, but he hadn't yet discovered exactly how that happened, and Katz's group was able to show us that.
That's fantastic. So now how can people find more out about this research? Let's say they want to read the papers for themselves. Is there a place they can link to it? Is it on PubMed? Is there a journal they can look up?
Oh, definitely on PubMed. If you look up Katz, Aaron E. Katz, they'll pop up, or Debbie Bemis, B-E-M-I-S. But why not go to beljanski.org? That's the foundation website, and there's links to all of these papers and others.
Oh, that's an excellent thing to do. And we do have that listed on our show site. We're going to be taking another short little break right here, Dr. Hald. And people who are listening to Natural Alternatives and the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network know that Progressive Radio Network does a phenomenal job of archiving all the shows. And when the shows are archived, then you can listen to them 24/7. And in addition, there are links about all these things right at the end of the description of today's show. So you'll be able to easily go to beljanski.org. There'll be a link for that. There'll be a phone number to that organization at 646-808-5583. And also if you want to take a look perhaps at the actual products that have been discovered and used that were developed by Dr. Beljanski, you can find that at beljanskiproducts.com. And all of those links will be there to make it easy for you. We're going to take a little break right here, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. John Hall, PhD, Senior Scientific Advisor at the Beljanski Foundation. We'll be right back.
This is the Progressive Radio Network, information for the independent mind.
Gary Null's incisive documentary and informational films on today's most crucial issues have won dozens of international awards. As a free service to listeners, acclaimed films such as War on Health and Seeds of Death are available to watch in their entirety online. Just go to YouTube and search for Gary Null. Thank you for your continued support.
I'm Sam Thurman of A Just Cause Coast to Coast. Join me along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez right here on Progressive Radio Network, that's PRN.FM, each Sunday morning from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice.
Hi there, this is Harvey Wasserman. I am the host of the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show, which airs every Monday at 3 p.m. at PRN.FM. We cover the great issues of your health and wellness, of the health and wellness of the planet, of moving ahead towards a Solartopian, green-powered, holistic Earth. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
It's the BRONX. You know what's next.
It's a bowl of soul.
Sweetest song ever.
Tune in and get your dose of classic soul and independent R&B music from the United States and abroad on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A Bowl of Soul is a music experience you won't forget or regret. Check out A Bowl of Soul on the Progressive Radio Network.
PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
You can find out more, for instance, if you go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com, you can click on schedule, and you will then see that we are lecturing this weekend. That is November 8th, if you're listening to the show in the today or sometime this week. But the Naval Expo, that's navalexpo.com, goes on four times a year, twice in Manhattan, twice in the Long Island area. This weekend it will be in Melville, Long Island at the Huntington Hilton. It starts at 9 a.m. At 9 a.m. I will be presenting a discussion about genetically modified food, how to protect yourself and your family, and to really understand what the whole thing means. And then at 4 p.m., I'll be discussing how to use herbs for common health issues. What happens if you get a cold or flu? What happens if your child wakes up at night with a high fever? Do you run to the emergency room, or are you prepared at home with your own natural medicine chest? You can check out our books at naturalnurse.com books, and you will see that actually we've written many, many books, and one of them is called The Natural Medicine Chest. So that's what we'll be talking about at the Naval Expo at 4 p.m. In addition, every single hour, and this goes on at all Naval Expos, every hour there are five holistic presentations by top speakers and doctors and researchers in the field. And every hour, about the hardest thing about the Naval Expo is, like, where should I go to learn more? Because every hour there's about five speakers, and you can choose to come to any event, And also, the Belzhinsky Foundation, our topic for today, will be represented by actually Sylvie Belzhinsky, who is the daughter of Dr. Mirko Belzhinsky, who is the researcher that we've been talking about all day today. And so get in touch. Go to naturalnurse.com under schedules or Facebook The Natural Nurse under events, and you will see how and when you can join us. So thank you again so much for being with us today, Dr. Hall.
It's my pleasure.
And you've given us great background information. I'm actually looking at Belzhansky.org. That's Belzhansky.org. And there's like so much information there. Apparently, there's lots of books that have been written. For instance, Cancer's Cause, Cancer's Cure, which was written by Morton Walker, is a book about that discusses the Belzhansky techniques as well.
Oh, that's right. And I think that's the first book I recommend. But there are others. There's a The Secret to Long Life in Your DNA by Jean Sec. And there's even more. Plus the manuscripts, plus Mirko's own book, which you already mentioned. There's quite a bit of material out there. And in addition, there's a movie. I don't know if you knew about that, but there's a documentary about Belzhinsky.
Oh, tell us about that. I might have seen that, actually. So it's older and like some really old European footage, yes.
Yes, but this one, well, there's two, actually. The most recent one is relatively short. It's 23 minutes. It gives you a great feeling for Belzhinsky, for his science, and for how he was received. There's interviews with doctors and scientists, and there are, you're right, there's some footage, some photographs, actually, from the olden days, the early days of Belzhinsky's life and his marriage and then his work at the laboratory at the Pasteur Institute. But that, I highly recommend that. It's a short film, but you get a lot of information. Plus, it communicates the feel of it. It really does its job.
Yeah, that's beautiful because you get to actually, I think the president of France that you had mentioned was in that one as well.
Well, they have a picture of him. I think it's in that one, right? But there's also, I think it's quite accessible. They interview some people who knew him well, some of the doctors in Europe, including Dr. Struhn, who was a contemporary and worked with him and co-published with him. And the appreciation is really quite wonderful.
It really is. So that's something that now people can see that. Is it posted on YouTube?
It is on YouTube, but if you go to the site, belzhinsky.org, it can be viewed there, I believe. It's on the website and also on the Foundation's YouTube channel. So it's out there.
So it's very, very easy to get. So people can check out more. And there's so many survivor stories that are listed on the website at belzhinsky.org. That's very supportive for people who are dealing with this this illness.
Yes, indeed. Well, could I comment a little bit further about the Foundation's research?
Please do. We have a few minutes, and we'd love to hear about the Foundation's upcoming
research. Okay, because I didn't want to omit the work from Kansas University Medical Center, in which both extracts, again, the PAO and the Revolfia, were studied in the context of ovarian cancer and pancreatic cancer. Now, those two cancers are extremely difficult to treat, in part because they're diagnosed late. It's quite common that they're not symptomatic early on, and so once they're found, they've already progressed. But also because in both cases, the cancer cells usually become resistant to the drugs that are used to treat them. This drug resistance is a big problem in cancer, and particularly in pancreatic and ovarian cancer. And what Dr. Chen out in Kansas discovered was that both extracts, PAO Pereira and Revolfia Vomitoria, are effective against ovarian cancer and pancreatic cancer. And these are just the kind of experiments I described in Katz's laboratory, where there's an in vitro phase and an animal phase, which really shows that these extracts can work against the most difficult cancers that are commonly aggressive and for which the prognosis is bleak. I just wanted to make sure to get that in.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, what are some of the, you know, are there any negative interactions? I mean, sometimes, very often, people are on conventional interventions such as chemotherapy and radiation, which, by the way, have certainly been proven to be useful at times in terms of shrinking the actual cancers, especially if they're tumors. However, when we look at the adverse effects, you know, we really need to try to support the body by, through going through those kinds of conventional interventions. So is there any known interactions that people should be warned about?
Well, it's a good question. And what I'd like to be able to say is that there are positive interactions, but not negative ones. And this comes from the work I just started to talk about in Kansas. Those researchers looked at combination treatments, including one extract, the PAO, and a chemotherapy drug, as well as another extract, Revolfia, and a chemotherapy drug. And for ovarian, the drug of choice is usually carboplatin. In pancreatic cancer, it's gemcitabine. And what they found was that the combination of the plant extract plus the drug gave the best result in terms of shrinking the tumors, removing the ascites, and killing off the cancer cells. So in a sense, there's a positive interaction if you can combine these extracts with traditional chemotherapy. And this is some of Beljanski's early work showed this with a couple of drugs. There are now... These gemcitabine and carboplatin have been studied in combination with the extracts, and Katz also did a study with prostate cancer cells using docetaxel. So it looks like there's a very good synergy between the extracts and the cancer drugs. And this
well,
is something
that is fantastic.
Important.
We have actually come to the end of
okay.
our time. I want to thank you so much, Dr. John Hall, Senior Scientific Advisor at the Beljanski Foundation. Listeners, find out more at beljanski.org. That's B-E-L-J-A-N, as in Nancy, S-K-I.org. Or watch the archives. They'll be posted on PRN.FM, Progressive Radio Network. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. And as always, we are wishing you the best. Stay healthy.